You know, I was looking at some videos, just random videos, and it was a morning scene, and this gal was digging like a grave, a little bitty child. And then the neighbor was out drinking a cup of coffee, and he said to her, he said, "Well, what are you digging there?" He said, "Well," she said, "my goldfish died." And then he got to thinking, he said, "Well, isn't that pretty big hole just for a goldfish?" And then she said, "Well, your cat ate it." Kind of like that, kid, don't you? That was pretty good. Okay. Scripture, we Genesis 12, on that note, 1 through 4, as we are traveling through our Genesis study here. Some of the most important verses in all of Scripture, which we'll expand even on in the weeks to follow. So beginning in verse 1, of course it's on the screen, "Hear the word of the Lord. Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." So may God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're continuing our study, "How Do You See God? Wrong views of God that defeat, destroy, and discourage." Today we come across the topic, "God depends on man." Who's in charge, God or man? Jack had saved his whole life to go on a cruise. He scrimped and saved, and the day finally came for Jack to go on this cruise, and he boarded the ship and went and got in his room and put his stuff up, but he wanted to go back up on deck to just see the port get smaller and smaller and see all the people waving. And so he ran up to the top of the ship, and he was standing there. It was a beautiful, beautiful day, and just glorious as this huge ship pulled out from port. It was beautiful. Jack looked out on all the water and the moonlit nights and just thought, this is the most wonderful thing ever. Well, a couple days had passed, and Jack woke up in the morning to people screaming. People were screaming and running down the hallways, and he thought, what in the world is going on? So he opened his door, and sure enough, there was water in the boat. This huge ship had struck something, causing a huge hole in the bottom. People were panicking and running to the lifeboats, but Jack thought, I saved years to go on this cruise. Nothing's going to stop me from getting what I want, my cruise. So Jack panicked and found a bucket, a pail. And he goes to the bottom of the ship, and he fills up the pail with water. And he ran up several flights of steps. You don't take the elevator in a flood, right? And trying not to spill his water, and he dumped it over the side, and he ran all the way back, all those flights of step, and he did this over and over and over again. We'd call Jack a fool, wouldn't we? What a fool! Refusing to give up his dream, believing that he had the power to pump out this huge ship's leak, surrounded by all the water. Finally ending his life and all who were still on board. You know, daily people believe they have that kind of power in themselves. Daily people actually believe that they choose God and God simply reacts to what man does. That we somehow have the power to rescue ourselves, to take all the pail of water and somehow empty the ship, and to go out on deck and say, all right, folks, come on back on. I have even duct taped the hole. I've dumped out all the water. I'm in charge. Yes, you can thank me. In Genesis 1 through 11, God has been dealing with the world in 11 chapters. And we've had all kinds of amazing things happen in just 11 chapters. But now God turns to one man. One man. And his name is Abraham. And Abraham will become the father of all who believe. We're going to see, first of all, that God loved me and chose me when I did not know him. You know, apart from Christ, Abraham is the most important person in all of the Bible. Abraham is our father in the faith. Listen to Galatians 3:29. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So if you have trust in Christ today as your Savior, you are Abraham's offspring. You are a part of the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. Paul said in Romans 4:11 that Abraham is the father of all who believe. So you and I have a connection to the Jewish people all the way back to Father Abraham. Remember at the burning bush when God introduced himself to Moses? Moses is walking along and this bush is just burning, but the bush isn't burning and a voice speaks to him. It's interesting how God identified himself. God said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham. Isn't that amazing? When God told Moses to go back to all the Israelites, he said, this is who I am. I am the God of Abraham. Well, he's a pretty important person. God would say he's the God of Tim, but maybe not in that way, because I have trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. In fact, it's amazing. Three times Abraham is called a friend of God. In Hebrews 11, the great chapter of all those people that walked by faith, Abraham is given more verses than anybody else. This is an important person. This is an important chapter. Now, I remember years ago, I was at a chapel service for teenagers at summer camp. And it was packed. There was over 100 kids there. We were in Illinois, all these counselors and stuff. I mean, it was packed. And the guest speaker got up there, and he began to tell all of these teenagers that God was looking for somebody who could serve him. And so God looked down, and he was seeing who was faithful and who loved him and who was just on top of their game. So God chose Abraham. Now, all of us preachers in there had smoke coming out of our ears because that is absolutely, totally wrong. We find out a little bit about this in Joshua 24. Listen to this. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many, and I gave him Isaac. Now, did you see what that verse said? That they were idolaters. They lived in a different land, and look at the last part of that verse. They served other gods. God did not look for somebody who was faithful and who followed him. Abraham was an idolater. Now, we don't know this for sure, what God he worshipped, but maybe the sun and the moon was his God. This is the father of you and me, if you believe. This is the most important person in the Bible other than Christ. And he was a worshiper, possibly. In fact, excavations and things have shown that more than likely he did worship the sun or the moon. Maybe to Abraham, a carved stone was his God. Maybe the stars were his God. Maybe a relic, maybe an ancestral trinket that he had was what he worshiped. This is who was the father of all who believed. Not a faithful man. He did not know God at all. So it's so hard for us to take God out of the equation when it comes to spiritual things. or take us out of the equation, pardon me, for spiritual things. You know, several years ago, an elderly lady passed away, and this lady had known me ever since I was a kid. I mean, I don't know how young I was, but, and so I'd known her all of these years, and she passed away, and I got a letter in the mail saying that I was left something in her will. I'd never had that happen before. So immediately, I went down and bought a Lamborghini, and I bought a mansion and a yacht. No, I didn't. But it was kind of interesting. I had no idea that months or maybe years ago, this lady sat down with a lawyer, and when he got to the part about the beneficiary, who would you like your assets or whatever to go to, that she would say, the Honorable, no, Tim Garrett. What a blessing. We were touched. We were absolutely touched. Now, our ship had not come in. It was not a huge amount, but it was a blessing. It was a blessing. In fact, I can honestly say this. It was really more of a blessing that she thought of me than even the $65 million she gave me. No. It just was a blessed thing. But grab this truth. Even though I had no idea she did that months or years ago, she based her decision on some things that I did in her life, obviously. I do remember once that her cat died. She called me. And actually, it hadn't died yet. And she wanted to go put it down because it was so sick. So I'm driving her, and she's almost 100 years old. I'm driving her and the cat down to put the cat down. And in the back of the car, I heard, meow! And she called the cat's name. The cat died in the back of my car. So we got to the place to put it down, and the person opened the box and said, I'm sorry, but your cat's already passed away. And so we take the cat, and we go back home, and she asks me to do a funeral for the cat. Guess what I did? I did a funeral for the cat. In fact, I dug the hole and buried the cat. And it wasn't deep enough. And she said, that's deep enough. And I said, well, the lawnmower might get the leg sticking straight up. You know, that's deep enough. And then she grabbed my arm and she said, could you say a prayer? And I just thank God that God had given her this companion to be a friend to her. And so my point is, and there were other things, she gave to me, which was a blessing. But it was based on what I did. Now grab this truth. God blessed Abram apart from anything that he had done. You grab that? He didn't do anything. He didn't bury a cat, a dog, or an elephant. Nothing. He was worshiping other gods. And God reached down and just said, I want you, I choose you. When Abraham had no clue who the true God was, God chose him. Abraham wasn't going to church. Abraham didn't wear the approved clothes of a believer. Abraham didn't listen to the right kind of music. He didn't come from a God-fearing family. He was living the exact opposite of what anybody should live. Remember, this is not that much longer after God wiped out the earth with Noah or the people on the earth, and then the Tower of Babel we saw last week. There was nothing. Nothing. And I shared this last week. I do pretty good of giving grace to people who love me and give me grace. But I tend to struggle when people don't give me grace. And you're probably just like me. You're probably just like me. If not, you can put your angel wings on and fly right to heaven and just be gone now because you're so perfect, right? Well, then why did God pick this idolater to be the father of us? There's one answer. It was not because you were more in number. This is a verse talking to Israel, whom Abraham fathered. It wasn't because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people, but it is because the Lord loves you. That's it. That's it. Why did God pick this idolater? It's simply because God said, I love you. Not because you did this and you did this and you did this and you did this and you did this. Nothing. You did nothing. It's simply because I love you. There's no other factor. Love and grace. Secondly, God gives me grace when I did not want him. Abraham didn't know him, and Abraham didn't want him, didn't know who he was. And there's a pattern in verse 1, and it's excuse me, always this way in the Bible. There is the call of God and then faith. Or we might want to say the choosing, the calling, and then faith. That's always the pattern. Nobody prays a prayer and goes, oh, God says, oh, they just asked me to save them. Well, I guess I better save them. Nowhere does the Bible teach that. Nowhere. There's always choosing, grace, and then faith. There is no repeated prayer or formula that moves God to save a person. There is no special, perfect little prayer. Repeat after me. I cringe when a preacher gets up and says, repeat this prayer after me. God, I'm a sinner. No. I cringe when I hear that. I cringe when I see a TV commercial. In fact, I've just seen one recently where the speaker gets a very popular speaker, and he says, if you believe this, repeat this prayer after me. No. I cringe when I see parents having preachers baptize their little tiny children. They don't even know who Jesus is. They don't even know what sin is. They have no idea what repentance is. Yet the parent thinks they've manipulated God. Oh, that little three-year-old, they baptized him. I guess they get to go to heaven. Who's recording the names today? Put them in the book. No. Do you realize that the names in the Lamb's Book of Life were written before the foundation of the world? We used to sing a song, there's a new name written down. Those names have always been there. Scriptures say it several places. Those names were written in eternity past because it's the God who chooses. He doesn't respond to our manipulations. I cringe when people say they have some kind of an experience. My goodness, I put my toast in the toaster today and out popped a picture of Mary. Oh, Mary. Or better than that, there was a cloud and it looked like Jesus. Does anybody know what Jesus looked like? No. That's why I don't like pictures. Plus, it's a graven image. I cringe. It's the same as our friend Jack, who thought he could save himself and manipulate God. No. But yet, God comes along and says this. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. No little prayer wakes up God. No manipulation wakes up God. No amount of giving money, no amount of going to church, nothing. It is only, you see the last part of that verse? It is only to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself to. God's in charge, not us. So here Abraham's a sinner, an idolater, heading down a path leading away from God. What changed him? When he didn't know God or want him. What changed him? I mean, what changed this rotten, idolatrous man to a follower of God? You know what it was? We saw one, God loved him and God gave him grace. God gave him grace. I love what Jesus said in the Gospels. Come to me. Come to me. If you're laboring and heavy laden, and they were, and everybody is who tries to bail out their own ship. I mean, most of us would be tired the second flight of steps with the pail of water. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden. We might add with sin. I'll give you rest. Rest from what? Trying to bail out your own ship. I'll give you rest. You do not have to bail out your own ship of sin. I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow, what a Savior. Listen to what Paul said in Romans. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So how do you come to Christ? You share the faith of Abraham. You simply trust God. And we have more revelation than Abraham had, but he was saved by faith, and so are we. We place our faith in what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And it's grace. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might be rich. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, just like Abraham, even when we were trying to bail out our own ship, I can do this, and maybe God will accept me. Somebody said this to me this week. They said, if I make it, talking about heaven, if I make it. And of course, I responded with, it's in Christ is how we make it. We can't bail out our own ship to make it. We were dead in trespasses. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He loved Abraham, and he chose him, and he gave him what he did not deserve. Again, I'm good at giving people stuff that, if I like them, you know, I love them, and maybe they do something for me. But how about somebody who has sinned against you, lied about you, hurt you, makes your life difficult, hurt one of your family members? Now, that's a big one right there. Sometimes you can mess with me, but don't touch my kids, right? We're all like that. But God gave grace to an idolater who didn't know God, who didn't want it. And the same is true for us. We cannot manipulate God. We cannot bail out our ship. The last point, God calls me to faith and obedience when I don't know what God knows. And we'll expand on this next week. We want to know everything, don't we? I do. I want to know. I don't necessarily like surprises, except at Christmas, right? I want to know what's going to happen to my life tomorrow. I want to know the test results now, right? Of course, if you have my chart, man, you get it kind of now, right? Can't understand what you're reading, but God calls us to faith and obedience. I heard a story several years ago. It was a man who committed a terrible crime against the family, a family. He was put in jail and he was brought to trial, and the family decided not to press charges. They decided to love and to give grace. A few weeks had passed, and this family who was sinned against was sitting in a restaurant. And that guy walked in with a buddy, the guy that had committed a crime against them, whom they set free. He came in there and he sat kind of close to them, but he didn't see them or recognize them. And the man began to brag to his buddy about the crime he got away with. He described it, and he said, that family, what fools they were to let me out. I couldn't believe it, but they were fools. Laughing and proud of what he had done to one of their family members. The family was sitting there and heard every single word. That man's life was changed. He was set free, wasn't he? By the grace of that family. But what did the man do? He just went on his merry way. When God calls us and changes us, we do not stay the same. Now listen, how many of you in here are perfect? I thought sure this side would raise their hands. I really did. May's on that side, so I knew that side wasn't going to raise their hands, right? And Abby lived in my house for several years, my daughter. So anyway, and of course, McKenna. Anyway, all right. So what was I talking about? I have no idea what I was talking about. God reaches into our life and changes us. None of us are perfect. There we go. We all still fail. There we go. But God's grace does change us. It changes us. We have different desires, different purposes. We still sin. We still every day, Lord, forgive me today. I had a bad attitude. I shouldn't have done this. Lord, I was envious. We all struggle, but you're convicted about it. You don't go in and say, ha, 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 you died for me on the cross. Well, today I'm going to go do this. Mm-mm. He saves us and he changes us at the same time. We aren't set free to go brag about what we've done and how we got away with it. I'm going to live my evil life, but I'll still get to go to heaven because I manipulated God and I prayed a prayer. I bailed out my own ship. Impossible. So isn't it interesting that God says to Abram, he changed him, and we'll see more of that later, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. Wow. Wow. You know, if you've never left home, you really don't quite grab it. It's a shock. You don't know where anything is. The streets are different. The people are different. The stores are different. People talk differently sometimes. Home is comfortable. Home is a place of safety, and you know where the dirty clothes are all the time, so you can walk over it because you're so familiar with it, right? You know the little weird things about your sink. You know how it works if you pump it twice, you know, and push it back hard and then push it that way. Everybody learns, you know, how to flush the toilet correctly in your house, you know. Leaving home, wow, you go, Abraham. He didn't know him, he didn't want him, God changed him, he chose him. Leave your kindred, leave your father's house. And by the way, I'm not even going to tell you where I'm taking you. And again, we'll expand on that probably next week. So when God changes us, he doesn't just change us to give us a ticket out of hell. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Wow. You know what taking up your cross is? Cross means death. Today we wear necklaces and tattoos and things with the cross. In this day, when you walked through Rome, there were crosses everywhere. And they weren't real high like we see in the pictures. They were down low. And people spit on Jesus' face. How'd they do that? Because they could reach him. They could talk to him. They could curse him. They weren't super duper high. There were crosses everywhere. And so you knew the cross meant death. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross. Now, all of us will fail. But salvation and choosing is not just getting a ticket out of hell. It is following Christ. In fact, I believe Jesus used the phrase follow me more than trust me. He was always saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. We're called to a life of faith. And isn't it interesting? You think, well, you know, Abraham, big deal, leave family. He probably lived in a mud hut. He probably ate ants for supper, you know. His life was so, you know what they've done? Excavations in the land where Abraham came from? The houses were made of brick. They were whitewashed to look good, just like we do our houses. Some stood two stories high. In the larger houses, there were 10 to 20 rooms. They had equipped kitchens, a good plumbing system, and sanitation. They were advanced in all they did. Abraham, you're now going to live in a tent. And you're going to smell the camels and the donkeys, and you're going to be traveling wherever I tell you. But where are we going? I'll show you later. The life of faith when you don't know. But you know what the awesome thing is? God knows, right? God knows. God knew when Pat's husband passed away that she had no idea that I would show up and do the funeral. The funeral home just said, well, we got a guy. Not very good, but we got a guy. She said, well, how much is he? No, he's free. But But now you've been here 12 years about. She had no idea what God was doing in that difficult time. That's what God said. You follow me, but I'll show you where. Leave your comfortable home place. Leave your family. Leave your idolatry and sinful ways. Now God doesn't ask everybody to go to Timbuktu or to leave their family. But it's a great example here. That salvation isn't just making the boat not sink, but it's pointing the boat in the direction God takes you. And he just simply believed God. And we'll see that more next week. From an idolater to walking with God, to being called a friend of God, and becoming our Father, three very short points. Oh, I left the verse out there, but that's okay. Three short points. Be mindful that God cannot be manipulated. No man-made experience or prayer moves God. What he has done before the foundation of the world. And we share the gospel because that's what God uses to change hearts. Don't try to manipulate God. I loved it today when the singers and myself and the sound people went back to pray, that one of the persons prayed for their child. I love that. I pray for my children, even though they're all 50 or 60 now. No, I'm 60. I still pray for them daily. I've never stopped praying for them or their children. My grandchildren, never stop praying for them. You see, we don't manipulate God, but we sure pray to this God, don't we? Save my husband, save my wife, save my children, save my grandchildren, save my coworkers, save my neighbors. Touch them and maybe use me. God cannot be manipulated. Be encouraged that God can save even the worst of sinners. Here's an idolater, Abraham, going into his house every day and probably open up the little doors and there's these little small statues that he carved or bought down in the marketplace and prays to them or whatever, or looked out at the sun and the moon. Don't look up at the sun, but he looked at the moon and prayed. Evil. And many of these places did some pretty raunchy stuff in the name of religion. And God changed him. Be encouraged. Who are you praying for? Who are you desiring to see God change? Be encouraged. God can save them. But don't try to manipulate them. Don't try to manipulate. Don't try to, and I've known preachers to do this. If I can just make them repeat that prayer. Show me that verse. It ain't there. That rhymed. If I can make them repeat that prayer, show me that verse. It ain't there. Abby, I'd like a song next week with that verse on there. Be encouraged, though. Who are you praying for? Who have you thought God could never reach? I'm guilty. Are you? Come on. I'm guilty. Look what he did. And the last point, be thankful God saved you. Are you saved today? I hope you are. Trust Christ if you're not. It's that simple. If he awakens your soul, be thankful. I tell you this, whenever I think of an eternity past when God was choosing the names, it terrifies me. It absolutely terrifies me. What if he had not said, Tim Garrett? I would be lost today, and I would be guilty, and I would be charged for my sin. Whew. Oh, he called my name. Wow. And we'll see more of that in the days ahead. I loved how Paul described his salvation. He simply said this, God was pleased to reveal his son in me. That's it. That's salvation. God does it. You don't bail out your ship. God bails you out through Christ, and he simply chooses. Well, how do I know if I'm chosen? God never tells you to see if you're chosen. God tells you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Then you look at your life, and then you know, oh, God, thank you for choosing me. Father, thank you for saving us, for revealing Christ to us. Thank you, Lord, for this account of Abraham, simple as it is, yet powerful. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for providing him so that we do not have to do the impossible, bailing out our own ship. Father, if there's anyone here today that is not born from above, you must open their heart. I pray that you would do that by grace and your love. For those of us who see our life, we know we trust Christ. We may doubt our salvation at times, but we never doubt that Christ is the one that saved us, our only hope. We say thank you. and help us to live and serve you. In Christ's precious name, amen.